It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Thursday, April 18th, 2024. I'm Brooke Schaefer with Raven News. In a special meeting Tuesday night, the Sitka Assembly held performance reviews for Municipal Attorney Brian Hansen and Municipal Administrator John Leach. After meeting in executive session, Mayor Stephen Eisenbeis shared the Assembly's conclusions.
After a long discussion with Brian and then the Assembly by themselves, the Assembly is going to give Brian an exemplary performance evaluation for the last year.
Hansen is scheduled to retire at the end of June. Municipal Administrator John Leach also received an exemplary evaluation. Eisenbeis noted that the Assembly will be working with Leach on a contract modification, but did not share details. Both Hansen and Leach will receive a standard 1.5% pay increase as part of the evaluation process. An Indigenous-led group in Sitka has received an unexpected contribution: two parcels of land on an island just outside of Sitka. As KCAW's Meredith Reddick reports, the herring protectors gathered earlier this month to visit the land and celebrate the unusual gift.
On a drizzly Saturday afternoon, about 40 elders, culture bearers, and supporters of Sitka's herring protectors are boarding an Allen Marine boat bound for the far side of Middle Island, about 6 miles northwest of downtown Sitka.
Cheers for coming along.
Ashichla Louise Brady co-founded the group Herring Protectors in 2016, initially as a local response to the Standing Rock movement in South Dakota. Now, the Indigenous-led group advocates for the protection of Sitka's herring population. Land ownership wasn't on the group's to-do list, but Brady says that changed when a Southeast couple, Rachel Myron and Steve Lewis, reached out to her about 2 years ago.
Her and her husband had these two pieces of land on Middle Island that they were going to gift to another organization, but they had been watching herring protectors and really liked the way that we were approaching this. Not so much fighting people, but bringing people together to protect what we love.
The location turned out to be fortuitous. The land sits right next to a historical hotspot for herring spawn. Brady isn't sure how they'll use the land long term, but she says it could be a convenient hub for harvesters.
We're headed to a really good area for harvesting, and it also happens to be really close to our land, so that people could perhaps anchor up there and not have to come back to town, and they could just check their branches.
Today, the focus is on gratitude for the land and for previous generations. As the boat weaves its way through Sitka Sound, Tlingit scholar Hune Lance Twitchell addresses the group.
What's going to happen out there is sometimes we think about the things we don't want to let go of, the things that are most precious to us, and we give them up. And the reason we do this is because some people have died protecting our lands.
He's holding a heavy copper shield, or tana, engraved with a formline herring design. The tana is a symbol of wealth, and today they will throw it, along with food and tobacco, into the water around Middle Island.
It's not showing any disrespect to this item. It's a cherished thing. But what we're saying here today is even the things we value most, we give up for our future generations. So maybe they won't know this sorrow that we feel when we look around and we see people taking everything that was protected for us and for those who gave their lives protecting this for us. We pay for those lives today with this tana.
He passes the tana around the boat, encouraging everyone to touch it before it goes into the ocean. Next, he holds up a small woven basket with a turkey sandwich and a sprinkle of tobacco, also destined for the water.
Maybe we're hungry, but we feed our ancestors first because we love them.
As the boat approaches the rocky, forested shoreline of Middle Island, the group sings morning songs and calls out the names of ancestors.
Peter Simpson, hey day.
Annie Bennett,
hey day.
Nels Lawson,
hey day.
Then Brady raises the tana over her head and drops it into the ocean. Twitchell drops the basket of food and tobacco. Others file through, tossing shreds of tobacco into the swirling waters. After a moment, everything disappears beneath the water. Brady says there's still a long way to go towards restoring land access.
I'm hoping all of our people get access to sockeye, to herring eggs, to halibut, to the flora, all the fauna, all the fish.
For now, though, the ancestors are fed and the herring protectors turn to their own meals in gratitude for the gift of food and the gift of land. In Sitka, I'm Meredith Reddick.
Without an about-face from hard-right legislators, including the governor, Sitka School District and many more across the state are facing drastic reductions in programming and workforce. Some communities like Juneau, Ketchikan, and Fairbanks are closing and consolidating schools. Sitka hasn't reached that point yet, but it's close. During a work session, Sitka students, staff, and school board members began to confront the hard decisions that they'll have to make to balance the budget next year, and to discuss how to involve residents in reshaping the community's schools. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The legislature's failure by one vote to override Governor Dunleavy's veto of the education bill has left the Sitka School District financially high and dry. In past years, an 11th-hour push in the Capitol has rescued schools, but that's not likely this time. The help that's expected to pass in Juneau, $340 per student, is about as good as no help at all, and schools are going to have to slash positions. As many as 24 in Sitka.
Bottom line is we have been operating off of a low pupil-teacher ratio for a long time, and it's going to have to increase. So that's that.
That's incoming Superintendent Deidre Jensen. She and Interim Superintendent Steve Bradshaw, who's already returned to his home in Montana, are jointly running the district administration. Neither has shown their hand about how they'll close a $2.6 million budget gap next year. As a result, the April 16th work session with the Sitka School Board was a combination of hand-wringing and spitballing about pupil-teacher ratios and the food service contract, and gathering ideas from a small audience comprised mostly of educators. Board member Phil Burdick felt the room was sidestepping the issue.
And at some point, we're going to have to say, we can't be everything to everyone. So what lane are we going to choose? And this is where I would like to see some community input. What do you want in your school? Where do you want to see us go? Because we only have one lane anymore. We've been driving down this super freeway for a while, and it is narrowing.
At the top of board members Todd Gebler's and Tom Williams' minds was continued frustration over the precipice that schools have been brought to by political gamesmanship in Juneau. Board member Steve Morse wanted to explore early retirement incentives for the district. Burdick pressed for more involvement from the public in what could be a radical change in local education next year.
You know, we've talked a lot about community input and no shine on people who are here, but you're all intimately involved in education. Is there a way that we're going to get public input that is parents, families, students? I mean, I know it's capacity and time. But is there a way for buildings to ask your people what it is that they're really concerned about?
Board President Tristan Gavon suggested surveying the public, but expressed reservations about the very short timeline before the board's budget had to be completed. Sarah Ferency, Interim Education Director for the Sitka Tribe, suggested that diverse communities had already been consulted through strategic planning. She thought a survey would return a narrow response from anyone with the interest, aptitude, and technology to take it.
You know, nobody wants to make these changes. Like, nobody does. You know, we walked in this room and I thought I was coming to a funeral. You know?
Nevertheless, the district's strategic plan wasn't written with the seismic changes possible next year in Sitka schools. Mike Vieira is the president of the Sitka Education Association, the union representing teachers. He said most residents were expecting cuts of 10 to 12 teaching positions and not the 20 to 24 now on the table.
I think you just need to give the community a chance to react to that change in reality and not get bogged down in the semantics of what the survey is going to be. Just give them a chance to have some feedback on the change of those numbers, because they haven't heard those numbers yet. I mean, that's a remaking of the entire district.
Board President Gavon recommended an additional work session in May prior to the board's next meeting. Incoming Superintendent Jensen said that she and the building principals were developing plans to specifically address cuts next year, and that a community-wide hearing could help inform the board about what programs and positions should go. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
I'm Brooke Schaefer, and this has been Raven News. And now taking a look at the weather for Sitka for today, Thursday, April 18th, 2024. Today, sunny with a high near 58, east wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low around 42, east wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. You're tuned in to your community radio station, Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. Good morning.